Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. In South Dakota, no matter your town, there are several historic houses and various buildings that stand as icons to the past. You can find a celebration of these structures inside a new paperback edition of Picturing the Past, South Dakota's Historic Places. For today's Images of the Past segment, we welcome Jay Vogt. He's director of the South Dakota State Historical Society. Jay, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be with you.
Let's talk about these South Dakota's historic places and tell us a little history of this publication, and particularly let's talk about photography by Scott Myers. And, you know, how did this all come together?
Well, when I first became the State Historic Preservation Officer, I and the staff visited about this series of books on historic preservation, and we were thinking, well, we really need one that highlights the historic properties around the state and what makes them important or what makes them icons also. And so after a lot of discussion and figuring around, we ended up deciding we were going to put together a few essays on various different topics in historic preservation and then liberally illustrate it with great black and white photography. And we are very fortunate to get a new young photographer, Scott Meyer, who now lives in Missouri, to come up here and take pictures of a variety of different properties. And we made the decision deliberately not to necessarily pick the ones everybody expects to see in the historic book. We don't have Mount Rushmore. We do not have the Corn Palace. We have a lot of homes. We have a lot of monuments. We have a lot of different properties throughout the state that really speak to South Dakota communities.
Mm. And one of the things that I enjoy about, the photographs and the idea of the book in general is this notion that it's almost impossible to separate these structures from the landscape, from South Dakota itself. They're so tightly tied together that so much of the image is where it is, not just what it is. Talk a little bit about that and how that gives us that sense of place and identity.
Well, you know, sense of place and a sense of having a good appreciation for historic preservation is important in our lives throughout the state. One of my favorite photos is the one on the cover. It's the Harding mm-hmm. School with out in the middle of a prairie with a little outhouse behind. Actually, a two-seater outhouse out behind. It just says it speaks to what rural South Dakota used to be, and in some places still continues to be. We see wooden elevators that used to dot across the state that are falling into disrepair. And we have, you know, a couple different elevators featured in here, as well as the fancy homes in a town, the cemetery that might exist, a business that has a long history in the state, Nick's Burgers in Brookings, for example. The Meridian Bridge at Yankton, that's one of my most favorite properties in the state. It was going to be demolished. And so a group of people got together, and we were able to convince the city of Yankton and convince both the highway departments in South Dakota and in Nebraska, as well as the Federal Highway Administration, that this bridge should be saved. And it didn't follow their natural protocols, and there wasn't a lot of enthusiasm to save the bridge. It looked ugly. It had rust on it. Everybody was scared it was going to fall into the river, et cetera, et cetera. You know, but in the long run, the bridge was saved. Improvements were made to it to help improve some of the appearance of it, and became a walking path between Yankton and the Nebraska side of the river. And I don't think you could find anybody now who would say that wasn't a good investment of time, and it becomes a common thing that people bike and walk across. So it's a wonderful piece of South Dakota's heritage in the state. That's one of my favorite places.
How satisfying is it for you and for others who are involved in those kind of historic preservation efforts and conversations and really arguments sometimes, and you know, when a other people finally come along and say, yeah, that was, in retrospect, that was a really good idea. And then how frustrating is it to enter in a brand new conversation where people sort of bring up the same opposition, you know,
right.
that you feel like you've trod in other conversations and you're like, do we have to have this conversation again about why this matters? Talk a little bit about the frustrations and the successes of some of those efforts.
Well, you know, it is always a conversation, and you're always starting at a different place in each community and what's important to them. And typically what happens is when a property, and let's just say a public property in this case, hasn't been well maintained by the county, the community, whomever it might be, and it starts to look in disrepair, it's like, oh, gosh, that's just really not worth it. Although it may be a solid structure, it may still have a lot of years of function associated with it. It might need a new roof, you know, it might need a few things to improve it. But we have those conversations. A lot of times those conversations about how it looks, and that style is out of style. And so, ooh, that's old and disgusting. Well, you know, I always tell people with their own personal home, embrace the style it is. So if it's an arts and crafts house, embrace that. Live that style. If it's a mid-century modern house, embrace that style and live it. And it puts a new shine on the property. And I think that those conversations are important to have. You know, I think communities need to have this exchange of ideas. When you're dealing with public properties, you're talking about the people's properties. And so I think sometimes that's a hard part to add into the conversation because government leaders want to do what they want to do with that property and not necessarily what the public is talking about. And the thing that's important to know is that just because a building was built for a specific function doesn't mean has to continue to be that function. It may be rehabilitated into something else. You know, a lot of these old historic schools can be, you know, renovated into wonderful apartment buildings or condos. If you go to Dal Rapids, for example, and see the Oddfellows Home, which is an older historic originally orphanage and then later a home for elderly people, it's all being converted into apartments for people, and they're wonderful. And I think that's just a good example of, you know, private investment, private encouragement in taking a property and just making it special to the community again.
South Dakota is not exactly known for architecture in the world, but as you look at some of the historic structures and the different architectural influences in the state, it becomes a far more interesting story. What can you tell us, you know, specifically from this book that kind of, for people who are interested in that or who are architecture lovers, what secrets are worth looking into and picturing the past?
Well, there's a lot of fun places, and you look at a lot of different bridges that dot the state. You have different sizes and types of barns throughout the state. I mean, you know, round barns are not common, but they are. They do exist throughout the state. We have a lot of several years ago we went out on a hunt to find Lustron homes, which are buildings that are made completely out of porcelain enamel buildings, and they were built as World War II houses. They'd come on a train to the community, and they'd slap it all together, and it was a unique building style. It didn't have a long life, but South Dakota's got, you know, a couple dozen of those homes throughout the state that are really fun. We have some wonderful Queen Anne-style homes, for example, like the Pyle House in Huron has been converted into a museum in recognition of the Pyle family and their contributions, particularly for women's suffrage and politics. We've got some fantastic courthouses that are like Art Deco, you know, and they're quite beautiful. The one at Girard County in Weston Springs, and we have the one in Mitchell at the Davidson County Courthouse. Wonderful buildings that need to be remembered. The Campanile at SDSU is a key, unique property. We have the Battle Mountain Sanitarium in Hot Springs that was built one of the first veterans hospitals in the United States to help veterans who needed to go in the hospital and then get treated and leave, was built in Hot Springs, South Dakota. And it's a magnificent building and sits magnificently above the city of Hot Springs. So it's wonderful to see.
Mm-hmm. Tell people where we can find this book, Picturing the Past, South Dakota's Historic Places. You know, some of these places are, you know, with travel restrictions that you might be choosing to stay home. You maybe need to look through the book.
Yeah, we encourage
and live vicariously.
People to buy books.
Yeah. Yes, it's a good time.
The best way to get them is that the South Dakota State Historical Society Press is published Picturing the Past, and it's just out now. It's $29.95, and it's available on our website. If you go to history.sd.us and then click on the link to publications, it'll take you to a site where you'll find all kinds of wonderful books on South Dakota history and Picturing the Past.
Yeah, we're going to talk next hour about traveling during the pandemic. And one of the messages is, hey, why don't you travel a little closer to home this year? So check out some places in South Dakota. Jay Vogt is director of South Dakota State Historical Society. Jay, thank you so much for being here with us today. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you.